Well, praise the Lord for that message this morning. What a blessing that was. What a blessing it's already been just being in this place. I trust that you have been able to sense the presence of God here and that He's already ministered to you through the congregational singing and also through the specials. What a tremendous blessing it is. And now let's look to the Word of God this morning in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. We'll be reading verse 34 down to verse 38. I believe this is the passage of Scripture that God would have for us today. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. The Bible says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, once again, what a blessing it is to be in church. Thank you for this opportunity that you made available to all that are here. And for all that are here, taking advantage of that opportunity. And I pray, God, even now that you would, Lord, just help us to put everything else out of our hearts and our minds. And that we would have a desire to hear from you. And not only do we want to hear from you, but we want to make whatever application necessary today. I ask that you would empower me once again to present your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. As we look here in chapter 8 of the book of Mark, Jesus had just taught his disciples that he was the Christ. And not only had he taught them that he was a Christ, but he had taught them that he would suffer death and that he would be resurrected from the grave. And chapter 8, verse 31, he reveals to them he would be, after 3 days, that he would rise from the dead. What a great, powerful statement that he had made to them, that he was the Christ that they had been looking forward to, prophesied the Old Testament. He was there, and that he would have to suffer, but he would resurrect from the grave. Well, and then as we look into our text here this morning, in the closing out this chapter 8 of Mark, we find in verse 34 that he calls everyone together, all the people that were there with his disciples. And he brings them together, and he teaches them, verse 35 down to verse 38. And I believe what he teaches them about this text or the title for the message I'm going to preach this morning, and that is he teaches them about gains and losses. Gains and losses. Now, if you have investments, you're very much aware of gains and losses. And you know what you risk in putting your money into the stock markets and into finding out whether or not this is a good stock or that's a good stock. And you have to realize, all right, what can I put in as far as investment for retirement or whatever it might be. But most of us here are very much aware of gains and losses. But I think that what Jesus is presenting to us here concerning gains as losses will go far beyond retirement. Amen. And so as we look here, verse 36 is the key to this, to his teachings here in the text that we just read. For he said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" I believe, no doubt, as we study this, is clearly a contrast between looking to gain what this world offers and risking losing what God has given, His own soul. What God has given is an eternal soul. When God created humanity, when He created man, He breathed within his nostril the breath of air, and man became a living soul. And he was then been created after the image and the likeness of God, who is an eternal God. And so God breathed into his nostrils a part of God, and man became not only a living soul, but he became an eternal being. Your spirit is an eternal being. And he gave us an eternal soul. That's what separates man from animals. God did not give animals an eternal soul. But humanity, the crown of God's creation, as he created man in his likeness and in his image, he gave man something that sets man aside far above all other creatures on this planet. And it has to do with that eternal soul. So a contrast between looking to gain what this world offers and risking losing his own soul, and verse 34 and verse 35, contrasting that with coming to Christ, denying self, following him and the gospel, and not focused on what this world has to offer. Not living our lives focused on what this world has to offer. As we study this, we know that this world will take us away from Christ. And Christ will lead us to overcome this world. Amen. That's what we're looking at here. In John chapter 17, look over there with me. John chapter 17, as Jesus would be preparing to ascend to heaven, this is actually Jesus' prayer. Not the model prayer. Jesus gave us a model prayer to teach us how to pray, but this was actually Jesus' prayer for us in chapter 17 of John. And he deals with this idea of this gains and losses when it comes into verse 13, John chapter 17, verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. The world and the philosophies of the world, the things of the world, are very much against the things of God. The Bible uses a very harsh word here when he says the world hateth them, those who want to live according to God's word. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. We're not here to be taken out of the world. We're here to be able to serve God in this world, but to overcome this world and to live that Christian life, that Christ-like life that God would have us to. That's what he's revealing here. So I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Okay, so now with that understanding of the world being at enmity against God, and the Bible tells us to love not the world, that's what he's talking about there, is the things of this world and what Satan will use this world to tempt the believers to turn to that. But in turning to the things of this world, to look to gain all that this world has to offer, would mean denying Christ, turning against God's will for our lives. So this morning, this idea of gains and losses Are we willing to risk that which we cannot afford to lose? Verse 36, what do we have to lose? For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Ultimately, our eternal life. Our eternal spirit would go into a place of death, a separation from God, a place the Bible calls a Gehenna hell. That's what we have to lose. In order to turn to this world and want what this world has to offer and put at risk God and what God has for us, it would be like, and it would be beyond this, but I think this to help us to understand, how many of us would risk $1 million at a chance to get a dollar? That's not a very wise investment. Somebody comes to you and says, well, if you invest this $1 million, I can take a chance on earning you a dollar. But you're risking $1 million. I believe that it would be even beyond that when it comes to putting at risk our eternal souls for something that is only temporary, for something that will one day be burned up. Anything and everything that you receive from this world will be burned up one day. And we risk so much of what God has given to us for this type of gain. Satan can blind us to that place, for we will focus more on the things of this world and we will blind ourselves to the most important things, and that is what God has for us. Are we willing to risk that which we cannot afford to lose? But not only our eternal souls, for our eternal souls is priceless. In verse 37, it says, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It's priceless. Your soul is worth more than all the wealth of this world. If you could get all the wealth of this world and you could possess that, you're going to die. And when you die, it's all going to be worthless. And you're going to lose that which is most important. You're going to lose that which is priceless. You're going to lose that which God wants you to have. And that's eternity in heaven. Amen. Are you willing to risk that for something that is worth far, far less? Gains and losses. Right now, I wonder, are we putting at risk a walk with God because we're focused on what this world has to offer? Jesus said in verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. The world that we're living in today is an adulterous and a very sinful generation. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Ashamed of me and my words. To gain the favor of this world, you will have to do this. If you understand the world and what the Bible is talking about there, the philosophies of the world and the ways of the world, in order to gain the favor of this world, listen to me, especially in 2016, even in the United States of America in 2016, the society that we live in today is continuing to want to erase the Bible from our society. The society that we live in is wanting to continually erase the idea of a prayer life to God. They don't want you to believe in God. They don't want you to stand by the Word of God. They do not want you to bring up what the Bible says, because that's not the way that the society wants to live. And if we are going to gain the favor of society, if we're going to gain the favor of what this world has to offer, then you will have to deny Christ. Are you willing to lose fellowship with God for worldly gain? How many of us today, possibly here this morning, have been tempted of the things of this world, but understanding if I am to have what this world has for me, then I have to keep silent my biblical convictions. I have to withdraw myself from being associated with Christ. Especially, I have to withdraw myself from being associated with an independent fundamental Baptist church because of our narrow-minded beliefs that the family was designed by God and that we want to just have people to understand that sin is sin. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. If God says it's right, it's right. It doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter what kind of laws that are passed by our government today. Listen to me. The Bible is truth. And if we are going to stand where God wants us to stand, then we are going to have to focus on Christ and turn away from what the world has to offer. I'm not saying you can't have some things in this world. I'm not saying you cannot be prosperous. But if you focus on the world and if you continue to focus on the love of money and the love of things and the favor of humanity, the favor of society, you will have to suppress your convictions. You're going to have to suppress your identifying with Jesus Christ. That's exactly what the Bible teaches us. So, are we risking a walk with God today to have the favor of the world? Another thought this morning, are we risking our families? Are we risking our marriages? Are we risking our Christian homes? God's design for the family to have the favor of the world. Look with me to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs in chapter 5. Gains and losses. Gains and losses. You might gain something from the world, but if you're gaining from the world, you're going to lose something that is much more important, and that is what God has for us. We can turn to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, you can turn there. But you can't turn there without paying a price. The Bible says this about marriage in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 18. Let the fountain, thy fountain, be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Notice it's wife, not wives, but wife. Let her be as the loving hind in the pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always, always with her love. Just her love. That's single. Amen. That's the relationship that God has given to you. That's a relationship that you need to be able to enjoy. That's a relationship that you need to look to and ask God to bless. Amen. A marital relationship. And why? It's a good question to ask here. Why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman? Whether it's in a magazine or on a television set or with a coworker or... Why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. God sees everything that's taking place here. Are we risking our marriages for worldly gain to fulfill the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or maybe in the pride of life? Are we risking this? His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. You're not going to get by with it. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Are you risking that which you can't afford to lose by turning to the philosophies of the world, which say, hey, it's all right to do whatever you feel like doing? It's all right if you want to have relationships and you want to do this and do that. Society accepts it. Society says, do whatever you want to do. Don't let anybody put convictions on you. Don't let anybody put restraints on you. You just do whatever you want to do. Listen to me. The Bible puts restraints on us. The Word of God reveals to us that adultery is wicked. The Bible reveals to us that this fornication is wicked. The Bible says God has ordained marriage. And in marriage, God has given to you a blessing. God has given to you something that God established and God designed to keep a marriage together for life. It's something that within the confines of God's will is a tremendous blessing to us. But when you try to add to that worldly philosophies, you're putting at risk losing something that is worth far more than surrendering your eyes to the lust of the flesh, than surrendering your body to something that is foul in God's eyes. We're really ready to risk that which we cannot afford to lose? And yet so many have. So many have taken their lives because it was too late when they realized what they lost. You need to think about that before you ever risk it. Not only your marriage, but what about the children? The innocent victims of divorce. The innocent victims of a person's sin. Your sin will affect your family. Your sins will affect how your children are raised. We must understand we can't afford to put at risk something that God wants us to have. God wants us to have a loving marriage. God wants us to have a loving family. God wants a home to be a place of refuge. You can't afford to put it at risk. Stay focused on God's will. Stay focused on God's plan for your life. Are we risking a walk with God? Are we risking our families? Are we risking God's blessings through being a part of what we're doing right here today, His church? Focusing on worldly gain can cause us to lose the blessing of an association with His church. Focusing on worldly gain can cause us to be too busy to attend church. Focus on worldly gains can cause us to be too busy to be involved in serving God through the church. And God has established the church that through the church the world might be reached. So therefore, if God has established a church that He would work through the church, and He has those that He has given talents and abilities to be set aside and be placed in a church that make up a body so that that body can accomplish all that God would have it to accomplish, as you are serving God through the local New Testament church, then you are what? Storing up riches in heaven. So if I'm not a part of the local New Testament church and I'm not serving God through the local New Testament church, the biblical New Testament church, then I am not storing up that which is going to be eternal rewards in heaven. What's keeping you from that? Matthew chapter 6. Look there with me. Matthew chapter 6. Amen. Everybody following me this morning? Gains and losses. Are you really willing to lose that which you can't afford to lose? Are you willing to put that at risk to gain what the world has? Wow. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. maybe keeping up with the Joneses is not the best focus to have in life. Whoever the Joneses are. Because he says concerning that, where moth and rust doth corrupt. And where thieves break through to steal. The more you have, the more vulnerable you are to thieves, because they want what you have. The more you have, the more upkeep it's going to take to keep the rust off of it. Which takes your time. Which takes you away from the more important things. But lay up for yourselves. Now you might have to lose out on some of the other things that are going to be burned up one day anyway. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where the thieves do not break through nor steal. Amen. Are you putting at risk the rewards that God wants me to store up for myself in heaven for the things that are going to be burned up on this earth? Wow. If you are, then what you're doing is you're risking $1 million to have a chance to get a dollar. And you say, that's foolish. Exactly. It's a fool who puts all these up and says, well, I am gaining so much and I am successful. I'm just going to build bigger and better barns to put it all in. And God says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose all those things going to go to? It'll just corrupt your family. It'll just corrupt your children. Amen. I love that. I see on a lot of RVs anymore, I am spending my children's inheritance. Amen. That's right. Yeah. Hopefully, though, when you put that on that RV, that you realize the most important inheritance they're going to get from you is a testimony that I love the Lord. A testimony of the most important thing in your life is to serve God. That's right. Amen. Am I putting at risk that which we can't afford to lose? Can't afford to lose opportunities that we have right now to lay up treasures in heaven. You only have this life to do it. Because after this life, there's no more opportunities to lay up in store. If you are saved, you might get there by the skin of your teeth, but you have no... I don't know exactly what that means, how that's going to come into play, but it will. I guarantee you it will. Then lastly this morning, are we willing to risk that which we cannot afford to lose? Most importantly, it's important to walk with God. It's important to have the family relationships that God wants us to have. It's important to be a part of the local New Testament church and serve God through the local New Testament church. But ultimately, it is the risk of losing what God wants us to have, a place of eternal glory in heaven, and going to a place of eternal darkness, a place where the worm dieth not, a place of torment night and day, a place of eternal hell. Go back there with me, our text this morning, Mark in chapter 8. You see, our eternal soul is priceless. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, can a Christian truly deny Christ? His whole life? Ashamed of mentioning to anybody that you're saved? Ashamed of the truths of the Bible? Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in his glory, in the glory of his Father, with the holy angels. You're risking going... You're risking heaven for a place of hell. Not knowing for sure that you believe and what Christ did for you. If you know for sure that Jesus died for you, he was willing to hang naked on an open cross, to suffer, to bleed, and to die for you. He did that for you. And if you truly believe that, how could you deny him before man? I'm just asking you. You say, well, no, I know I'm saved. Are you sure? Because Satan is a deceiver. He's a liar. And the thing that he will do more than anything else, if you're lost, he's going to try to convince you that you're saved. I believe that there are so many in churches today who believe they're saved because they've believed a lie. And there's no evidence of salvation in them. There's no desire to live for Christ. There's no desire to help people understand the Bible, his word, the gospel. They're just focused on this world. They're focused on themselves. They're focused on what I want. But yet Satan wants you to believe that you're saved. Can you be saved and live like that? That's a question that you have to ask yourself. If you don't know for sure, you're risking your eternal life. Something that everyone needs to know. God wants you to know. It's not God's will that you not know. God says, I want you to know in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. He wants you to know, and you can know that you have everlasting eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Do you have Christ in you? Do you realize what he paid, what he did to suffer and die for you? Do you realize that? If you realize that, if he's in you, how can you not represent him? How can you not have a desire to live for him? And when he had called the people unto him and the disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. If you know for sure that you believe he died for you, have you did what he said you must do to be saved? You have to first of all believe that. If you just go through the words of asking Jesus Christ to be your Savior without understanding that he died for you, and without his death, you would go to a devil's hell. You deserved a devil's hell. For there's none righteous, no, not one. I was on my way to a devil's hell. Even while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And when I acknowledge the fact that he died for me, I believe that he died, he was buried, he resurrected from the dead. That's exactly what he taught them before he gave this. He taught them that he was Christ. He taught them that he would go to the cross of Calvary. He would suffer. He would die. But because he was Christ, he would resurrect the third day to give them hope that if you just come to me and follow me, you can have resurrection. You can have the hope of everlasting eternal life. But you have to believe. And once you have believed, you have to receive. And you simply receive by saying, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. You're resurrected on the third day. And because of that, you offer me a gift, not that I can work for, but a gift of everlasting life. And when you get to that place, then all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The world will blind you to true salvation. Don't risk what you can't afford to lose. Turn to Christ. Receive him today. If I could have every head bowed. Gains and losses. There's much for us to lose. But praise God, there's much for us to gain. The gain comes through Jesus Christ and knowing Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Opportunity to walk with God, to fellowship with God. Opportunities to have the blessings on your marriage, the blessings on your family, your home, a place of refuge. Opportunity to have a blessing of a church family, being a part of a local New Testament church, to be able to serve God through the church, to lay up treasures in heaven for yourself. Listen to me. That's what God has for us. That's what you can gain. Don't give that up. Don't risk that for whatever this world offers you. Father, we bow before You now. We thank You, Lord God, for what we've experienced in this place today. Thank You, God, as we have read and studied this passage of Scripture, I believe we've gotten across exactly what Christ was getting across to the people and to the disciples. And I pray right now, God, that You would speak to each one of us as we have need to be spoken to. There's going to be some that's going to walk out of here that's risking what they can't afford to lose. Help them not to do that. Help them to come to You right now, at this moment. Work in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen.